The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tonight the topic is more of how when we put everything together, and what we want to look at is the concept of a functional family. The one thing that we have to begin with is how Allah says, وَأَنْكِهُ الْأَيَامَ, and marry, speaking to the single men and women of our communities. One of the things that we understand is that in Islam, marriage is a choice. Once this choice is made, you know, when we come back to this verse, and the word Allah uses, وَأَنْكِهُ, and marry, Ayatollah Nasser Makarem Shirazi in his tafsir of this verse, he gives us three ways that this one word can be understood, or three aspects of marriage that can be extrapolated from this one word of the verse. Number one is he says that this word tells us that we as a community, as parents, as caregivers, we need to encourage our children towards marriage. Right? We need to encourage them, not only in words, you know, telling them to get married or encouraging them, but in our actions. Again, I've seen personally families where the father is so abusive to his wife, maybe not physically, but mentally and through words, which is equally as haram and problematic even from the secular system. He has been so vicious with his wife in front of the children that the children no longer want to get married. They've lost all desire because they see, my dad is abusing my mom in this way. Is this how men treat women in marriage? Right? And by children seeing that very toxic relationship between husband and wife, this will put them off from marriage. Now again, husbands and, you know, a man and a woman will have differences, but as all the experts say, that they need to deal with those in privacy, behind closed doors, not in front of the children, that they yell and scream. And, you know, even as we have seen and heard, you know, the wife and the husband getting into physical altercations with one another. This is a reality. Not only husbands physically abusing the wives, but the wife many times physically abusing their husband. And when children see this, they get into this thought that I'm not going to get married. Why should I put myself in a position that just as my mom is? Or why should I be in a position just like my dad is being abused? So Ayatollah Makarem says, yes, we have to encourage our children to marriage, but it's not just through verbal words, right? Or lectures and majalis and lectures and seminars and conferences about marriage. It's about living the ideal marriage. And we have to study the life of, for example, Rasulullah and Umm al-Mu'mineen Khadija alayha salam and sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. How did they live in matrimony and happiness in times of ease and times of difficulty? Right? When the Prophet and the end of the life of Khadija alayha salam, when she had nothing, when all her wealth had been expended in the way of Islam, the Prophet was no different to her in his love. He still loved her even though she had nothing left in terms of material to give. You look at the Prophet even when he moves to Medina and he marries many other women. You look at how his relationship was with wives like Aisha and Hafsa. It's no secret if you read the Quran Surah Tahrim chapter 66 that when Aisha and Hafsa, although not mentioned by name in the verse, but there are clear hadith from all Muslims that these initial ayat refer to them. When they would accuse the Prophet of having a very bad smelling mouth, that he smelled bad. When they would pass secrets back and forth to one another, and the Prophet would tell them, I'm telling you a secret, don't tell it to anybody, and she would go and divulge it. Allah is very clear, reprimanding Aisha and Hafsa. There's nothing to be ashamed about when we read these ayat and ask or review the tafsir that these two wives of the Prophet were guilty of insulting the Messenger and of planning and plotting against him, as the Quran clearly says. But what does Allah say to the Prophet even in those times? He says that if Allah wants, He could divorce those two and get you much better, pious, loving, caring. He gives so many beautiful attributes, saying that these two were not like that. He didn't physically hit them or attack them or, you know, do anything. He let Allah deal with that situation, but He dealt with it as the Prophet of Allah. He didn't raise His voice. He didn't hit them. He didn't curse at them. No, He dealt with them in a respectable manner. So that is one thing. Another thing that Ayatollah Makarem mentions is that we need to create a responsible and safe way for our boys and girls to meet, to get married with one another in our communities. Again, we see this around us, that our children are going to public school. They're going to university. They're mixing with people of other religions. And I could probably count many people, maybe 5 or 10 that I know from our community who have married outside of Islam. Forget about marrying outside of Ahlul Bayt's teachings, that they've married people who are not even Muslims. Right? So this is a major concern. And we have to find a way of how do we ensure that our children can interact with one another in an Islamic environment, that they get to meet one another in a permissible way, and that they can find their partner from within our religious community, rather than going out and looking for their partner. And number 3, Ayatollah Makarem says, from this one word, wa'ankihu, and marry, he says we need as a community to provide the financial means for our youth to get married. You know, again, it's a major issue in some communities. All communities do marriage differently. Some youth that I have even seen are very comfortable with a very simple marriage. They come to the masjid, you know, the family is there, community members are there. A few $1,000 is spent to feed the community and the marriage is over in half an hour. And then I've been to weddings that last 3-4 days in our community. Wednesday there's one program, Thursday there's another program, Friday there's another event, Saturday finally is the nikah and the dinner, and Sunday maybe is the walima for the other side of the family. Right? I've seen weddings where people have sent me invitations for the wedding, a wedding invitation written on a scroll in a glass bottle filled with sand, couriered to every single household. Maybe $100 per invitation or more they've spent. So I've seen two extremes. And I've also seen some of these same weddings last 10 days and the man and the woman have separated. They're divorced after 2 weeks at marriage. And then I've seen marriages for 30 years. They only met one another through a photo. They didn't even have, you know, FaceTime to talk with, and they've been married for 30 years now. Right? So the point being is that as a community, we have to recognize these are issues. We have to support our youth. I see like India, I see Pakistan, I see Iran, I see Iraq facilitating marriage for their youth, paying, you know, arranging the marriage ceremony, the basics of the house, the fridge, a stove, dishes, basic things. And I say, if they can do that over there, why can't we have a fund for our youth that need to tap into it? Not all youth will need that support. But if our youth need it today, do they have an organization they can go to get not only these things, but even if they need a loan, if they need to borrow money for a marriage, where do our youth go to get these things if they can't afford? Right? Do we expect them to live a life of haram, as we talked about a few nights ago, or do we want to provide them that level of support that they need?
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Kareem Adi Ali. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.